Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. Today we have a cautionary tales type of episode. And on these episodes, we normally talk about real life cases, real clients that are things me or my office have worked on, or maybe they're things that I think are just generally awesome things to be aware of, so that you do not turn into a cautionary tale on this Legal Tea podcast. So today's episode is a little bit of both, actually, in a way, because we are going to talk about timeshares and specifically how timeshares intersect with my estate world. I deal with clients' timeshares usually in two scenarios. Either one, during estate planning, it will come up that the client has a timeshare and, you know, they'll ask, you know, what should we do with it given the estate plan that we are doing? Or two, timeshares intersect with my estate world after someone has passed away and the family or who the beneficiaries are kind of the ones dealing with it. Now, if you ask 10 people who own timeshares what they think of their timeshare, do they enjoy it, was it a good use of money, etc., you'd probably get several different variations, several different responses. Some find them to be absolutely fantastic and they do not regret investing in a timeshare. Others will start cursing if you mention the word timeshare. And the purpose of this episode is not to help navigate whether you should buy into a timeshare or not. Your estate planning attorney is not the one to ask that question to. Rather, I thought it would be just a good use of time to really dive into a few different scenarios in which timeshares impact my estate and elder law field. And that way, if you do get a timeshare or have a timeshare, you really have a better, solid understanding of how the timeshare may impact you and your estate plan. Let's first start with pre-planning. And what I mean by that is talking about timeshares while someone is living and as they maybe embark on an estate planning process. So think someone has hired my office to do a last will and testament or maybe some type of trust planning. And as that client goes through my office's process, we always talk a lot about someone's assets to make sure that they line up appropriately with their estate plan that they're doing. Sometimes people share with us they have a timeshare. Really, to really start things off in this conversation, I want to differentiate ownership versus beneficiary. And I know that may seem remedial, but just to give us a really good foundation. Ownership means whose name or whose names are on the timeshare. Some timeshares have a deed, so whose names, you know, are on the deed. Some timeshares are more contractual in nature, so who's the contracting party in which, you know, purchasing the timeshare. Beneficiary means at the owner's passing, who is the designated beneficiary to get the timeshare. Now, most of the time, if there are joint owners on the timeshare, it is likely going to default to the surviving owner. So, for example, if one owner passes away, it's likely set up, like I said, likely, not always, but it's likely set up in a way to remain with the surviving owner or owners. So think, for example, we have John and Susie, husband and wife. If John passes away, the timeshare will likely shift to just be Susie's rather than, say, go down to a beneficiary that's designated on the timeshare. But then if I stick with this example, when Susie passes away, if there are beneficiaries designated on the timeshare, usually the timeshare company has their own process to get that timeshare passed to the beneficiaries that are designated. Now, what if the beneficiaries don't want the timeshare, or maybe they can't afford the timeshare? And that definitely happens. Well, the beneficiaries at that point have two options. First, they can accept the ownership of the timeshare and basically turn around and deal with it, you know, deal with getting rid of it, whether that's selling it, for example. Or they can say, you know, we don't want it. We're not even going to accept the ownership. Now, this in my world is often something called abandoning the property. It's kind of like a legal way of throwing your hands up and walking away. This option may come with a little bit of a headache because sometimes the timeshare company will just say, okay, and take it back. But other times, and this is where you may experience some headaches, is that timeshares are contractual agreements. So if there is money owed, for example, they could try to force you to repay any outstanding balance or any outstanding like maintenance fees, for example. And they probably, you know, don't have a leg to stand to force you like individually and personally to pay if you're not on the timeshare, of course. But they could, I suppose, open an estate of whoever died and try to recover what they are still owed. Now, in my 12 years, I've never seen them do that, but they could. And that's where what I'm talking about, where they could, you know, cause some headaches if you just try to, you know, walk away, throw your hands up and say, I'm not taking ownership. Now, something else to consider from a pre-planning standpoint is whether or not, if you have a living trust, so say like a revocable living trust or an irrevocable trust, an asset protection trust. First, I think it's important to know and understand that, you know, if you have specific concerns or questions, you should definitely discuss your specific situation with an estate attorney, really to make sure that you do what is best for you. You know, I can speak generally, you know, about things on this podcast, but sometimes a person's situation just really, you know, whatever their situation really gravitates to a more appropriate option. I can say that most clients choose to not deed or transfer ownership of their timeshare to their trust because to transfer ownership, it's usually quite the process. Not to mention many, but not all, timeshares don't truly carry a significant value to them. So if someone is maybe doing planning like asset protection trust planning, for example, perhaps that is a reason to consider transferring ownership. If you want to keep the timeshare for your beneficiaries after you pass away and to protect it from, say, long-term care. That's a common reason, by the way, many create asset protection trust planning is really to protect assets against long-term care. And that may be one of those specific reasons that may gravitate towards, you know, someone transferring ownership of their timeshare into a trust. Otherwise, if you do not have a trust at all, or maybe you have something like a revocable living trust, more likely than not, it's likely going to be easier and just fine to leave the timeshare in your names. Like I'm talking about not transferring the ownership into a trust, for example. Sometimes the transfers take some time and take some work, and heck, even sometimes there's even a fee. So why go through that trouble, right, if it doesn't really get us any further ahead? As I said earlier, most timeshares do not carry a significant value to them, which is different, may I add, than what you've paid into it in maintenance fees. That doesn't automatically, you know, increase value per se. So long as the value does not rise to the level of requiring probate court involvement after you pass away, which most don't, you're probably going to be okay without transferring ownership into, say, like a trust. Of course, like I said earlier, if you are genuinely concerned about your individual timeshare and how it relates to not only your estate plan, but also your state laws, I just cannot highly recommend enough that you contact an estate attorney to discuss your individual situation with them. There's just a lot of factors and moving parts that, you know, sometimes necessitate transferring ownership, sometimes not. So now let's talk a little bit about after we pass away. You know, a bit ago, I said that often timeshares give you the ability to designate beneficiaries, right? So at the owner's passing, beneficiaries are usually what is going to govern first. So say I, Jenny Roselle, own a timeshare and designate John Smith as the beneficiary of my timeshare. What I mean by that is the beneficiary is on record with the timeshare company. So John Smith is the beneficiary of this timeshare. At my passing, John Smith gets first dibs on the timeshare. Like I said earlier too, technically beneficiaries do not have to accept the timeshare. They can abandon it. And then from there, it's really whatever the timeshare company's process and protocol on really what's next. You know, do they absorb any the expenses and fees and just take the timeshare back? Or do they try to go after the owner's estate and recover any debts, fees, expenses, etc.? Since most timeshares are contractual, I'm certain most timeshare companies have the ability to, like I said, go after the owner's estate. In my experience, that's pretty rare. At the end of the day, they would have to hire an attorney to do so. And since that's the case, they really have to make sure it's worth it to hire that attorney. You know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but my experience is that they rarely go after the owner's estate. Do not take that as legal advice. At the end of the day, like I said earlier, they absolutely could, since payment terms are likely within the contract that was originally signed. Now, another option after death is attempting to sell the timeshare. I was reading through some articles and stuff in preparation for this episode that I've linked in the source links for this episode, and I liked how this one talked about selling a timeshare. So according to PTM Trust and Estate Law, which is a law firm in Gainesville, Florida, they say regarding selling a timeshare, quote, "You should manage your expectations when it comes to the purchase price. Timeshares are often sold at a loss because they simply are not in high demand. Think about it this way. If a company has to literally pay people to sit through a sales pitch for a timeshare, then there are probably not a lot of people actively seeking timeshare ownership." End quote. You know, I liked the piece about manage your expectations, because if you think about how much people spend on timeshares between the original purchase price, the maintenance fees, etc., you may think it's worth more than it really is. So just be mindful of that. You know, as an estate attorney, I have seen a lot of different scenarios with timeshares. I have a lot of clients that have them. Heck, my own parents have one. Some have really good experiences with them. Some have really negative, poor experiences with them. And like I said earlier, I'm not here to bash on timeshares. You know, I've tried to keep this episode informational, more just like a heads up, is things to consider in how timeshares intersect with my estate field. At the end of the day, if you are a timeshare owner, perhaps this is a perfect trigger to cause you to either revisit your current estate plan or maybe even finally do an estate plan to discuss the timeshare with an estate planning attorney, as well as discuss with maybe who you feel are beneficiaries, for example. I'll use my own family as an example. I told my parents that I have absolutely no interest in taking their timeshare at their death. So they actually made my sister the beneficiary of it. My sister pretty frequently uses their timeshare, so that just makes better sense. And you know, if you are the beneficiary, as in the owner has passed away, at the same time, from your perspective, it may be prudent to pause before you just accept that ownership and really consider your options. Do some research, do some digging, make sure you're making the right decision for yourself and your own beneficiaries one day. And that may include seeking some advice from an estate planning attorney, a financial advisor. You know, can you afford it? Should you take over these maintenance fees? There's just a lot to consider. So I encourage you just to pause and consider all options as a beneficiary. Alrighty, time is up, my friends. I hope this was an interesting episode for you. Let's shift to a sneak peek of next week, which we are circling back to the current trends topic, where we talk about things that are going on currently that impact my estate and elder law world. Or maybe they're things that I've stumbled, across on the news or social media that are just relevant to my fields. Well, next week, we are going to talk about online estate planning platforms. You know, you see them on commercials. They may even come to you as recommendations from, professionals like financial advisors. So we're going to talk about them, and we're going to talk about my general thoughts on them, and they may surprise you. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. So be sure to tune in next week. Talk to you then, Legal Tea listeners. Take care and be well.